يقولون سلام سلام ولا هنا سلام، ينهبون أرضنا وجدار يفصل عنا الأمان.
Hello and welcome to our podcast. Today, the focus is on the Middle East, and in particular, a document called the Kairos Document about the plight of the Palestinian Christians. To unpack this, we're joined by Dr. Harry Hagopian, our Middle East advisor, expert on religious affairs in the Middle East, political affairs, and also with a legal mindset, because you're a lawyer as well, aren't you, Harry?
I am, James, and it's a pleasure to be here with you again.
Excellent. Well, let's start off with the Kairos Document, and as simple as this, what is it?
Well, it's interesting because I think there is a sense of continuity with the Kairos Document. In the past, I've shared with your readers and listeners something about the Christians of the Middle East in general, and particularly those in the Holy Land, in Israel and in Palestine, their witness, their presence, their lives, their problems in that part of the world where we celebrated the resurrection only a few weeks ago. And this Kairos document is, in my opinion, a very, very important document that was put together by a number of Christian Palestinian theologians, priests, Christian activists, and was launched in December of last year. So it's roughly about 4 or 5 months old. And the idea was that this document, Kairos, which stands for a moment of truth or a moment of opportunity, is modeled on a previous Kairos document that came out about 23, 24 years ago on the South African anti-apartheid experience. So what those Christian Palestinians are doing is, in this document, they're trying to encapsulate their hopes for the future and also remind us Christians living in other parts of the world of the problems they face day in, day out, and how we as Christians could stand in solidarity with them.
Are we, on the back of this document, waking up to the plight of the Palestinians, or, if I might say, is it just another document?
I don't think it is just another document. You're absolutely right. We're very good at churning out documents. Every crisis sees a document coming out. And this doesn't only apply to the Holy Land or the Middle East. This applies across the world. We come out with documents, and in a sense, we feel that we have fulfilled the duty of speaking out about a particular conflict or a particular plight. I think the document goes beyond that, because this is a document that, as I said, came about in December of last year, but one that was being worked at for a number of months by Christians in Jerusalem and across Israel and Palestine. And the importance or the distinctiveness of this document is that once it came about, all the heads of the churches of Jerusalem, or what we would consider the traditional churches of Jerusalem, that is the Catholic churches, the Orthodox churches, and the Anglican and Reformed churches, their leaders endorse this document. So this is a document that speaks out in the name of indigenous, local, Palestinian, Arab Christianity. And what this document says, in a word, is that they're reminding us, the world, that there is a sense of separation, a sense of forsakenness felt by those Christians living in the Holy Land, and that this document is, in a sense, the starting point for them of challenging their realities, asking for help from Christians worldwide as part of the Universal Christian Fellowship, but also, and I think this is important because it addresses the theology of Christians in the Middle East, it also challenges the theological interpretations of those who use the Bible in such ways that they attack the legitimacy of the Palestinian Christians in the Holy Land. So I think it's an important document. And incidentally, it's a document that at the beginning, just like you asked me yourself, a lot of people said, well, this is going to be another fancy document. It's not, because it's a strictly Christian document authored by Christians coming out with a sense of hope, faith, and compassion, but one that is gradually being recognized more and more by different churches and church-related organizations worldwide.
This is a sensitive region, don't need me to tell you that. When you look at Christians living alongside Jews, living alongside Muslims, does the document take their position into account?
Of course it takes their position into account, James. At the end of the day, we all know that the local indigenous Christians in that part of the world as a region, but also those living in the Holy Land, are a small minority compared to the Muslim population as well as to the Jews living within Israel. So in a sense, they cannot live in a void. They can't live in a blank space and pretend that there is nobody around them. So in a sense, this document primarily addresses the Palestinian constituencies, the Palestinian Christian constituencies to start with, because those are church leaders and theologians and activists who deal day in, day out with the realities that they face in their country. Then it addresses also Palestinian Muslims, who are the majority in the country. Then it definitely addresses Israel with its policies that it criticizes quite severely. And then it addresses the whole world and says to the world, wake up, we have a problem. In fact, we have a set of problems that challenge us day in, day out. Would you be able to help us? Interestingly enough, we celebrated the good news with the resurrection. But again, my question, just like the document asks that question, what is that good news and how can we live that good news and celebrate it, as it were, in the midst of all the darkness and misery that still befalls those people, men, women, and children of faith in the land?
Taking that into account, is this document a form of catharsis? Is it a case of, we haven't been heard for a long time, we need to be heard? This is us summing up our feelings in a very, very, very difficult environment. Will anything practical come of it? So it's two questions, really. Is it a sort of healing process by definition? And secondly, what practical action will we see?
I think there is a lot of healing process there. There is a lot of catharsis there. In fact, somewhere in the document, and the people who prepared it said that this document, in some sense, represents a cry of hope in the absence of hope. And that's a very powerful statement for me, because we Christians, if we don't have our hope and our sense of optimism, because after the crucifixion comes the resurrection, then we have a problem with our faith. So the document is saying, yes, here is a cry of hope in the absence of hope. But the document also addresses the plight of all those who are oppressed, all those who are caught captive or held captive to fear and to violence. And then it asks people across the world, are you able to help us get our freedom back, to help us attain justice, peace, security, and ultimately love? If you count the number of times, James, that the word love comes into this document, it is the most recurring or frequent word. And I think we Christians believe that the New Testament and our faith is to a large extent founded on love. So this document is not a confrontational document. It is not one trying to do battle. It is one basically saying, in a spirit of love, truth, and faith, please help us. We need your support.
Dr. Harry Hagopian there. That's the end of part one. Do please download part two, where Harry continues his analysis of the Kairos Palestinian document. سنرفع الأنين في وجود كل آمل سننشر اليقين بين السماء والأرض سنبقى خالدين والقدس السلام.